Folks, I just received a report from Craig Feininger, our business guru here at Lutheran Public Radio, that we're a little less than $34,000 short of making budget this year. Now, as you consider your year-end giving, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Support Issues, Etc., Truth-Centered Mission Outreach. Any size gift is deeply appreciated, and as a way of saying thanks, we'll send you a CD of a sermon I preached on Christmas and another on the baptism of Jesus. Now, you can financially support Issues, Etc. by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping Issues, Etc. in mind at the end of 2011.
Our commitments to protect the freedom of religion and to defend the dignity of LGBT people emanate from a common source.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian, but you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school.
You don't get any more intimate than to be there on your knees in the manger of your church, receiving in your own mouth this Christ in his body and blood.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
Maybe the best way some people might think to have our children take Christmas seriously is to leave out all of the trappings of the world and all of the Santa Claus and all of the Rudolph and all of the tinsel and the lights and focus entirely on Jesus' birth. Well, you can hardly insulate your child from all of that. But what does it mean to focus on Jesus' birth? Do we present Jesus in a similar way that we present Frosty the Snowman or Santa Claus? Do we assume, as Christian parents of Christian children, that our kids don't really believe in Jesus? We have to convince them just as much as we would have to convince them that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. It's the 12th of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the Incarnation and your child for the first half hour of the program. Pastor Nicholas Huelsman will be our guest. A little bit later, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. We'll talk about the angel Gabriel visiting Joseph. That's Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter. In hour two of Issues, Etc., you've heard the label. It's been with us for about four decades. Persistent vegetative states. What harm has this medical label done to those who are allegedly in the persistent vegetative state? Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest. We'll talk about a radio television station, in Charlotte, North Carolina, that mistakenly reported the death of Dr. Billy Graham and how it highlights some of the problems with media coverage and religion coverage in general. And then Dr. Beverly Yonke will join us to round off that second hour of the program to talk about holiday depression and what the church has to say and to do for those who are just down during the holidays, maybe down during the holidays more than any other time. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Nicholas Huelsman is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Victor, Iowa, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Your Child Already Believes. Pastor Huelsman, welcome.
Absolute honor, Todd.
Why is it important, before we even begin with our children on Christmas and the Incarnation, to realize that as Christian children, baptized children, they already believe what we're going to teach them?
Well, you nailed it right there. I mean, this is baptism gives the faith, which, and perhaps to be more precise about this, to talk about belief is sort of this manifestation. Believing is this manifestation of this gift that is, this pure gift that is given to us in our baptism of faith. So So belief more precisely would be this manifestation of faith. And this is really the issue. Do we believe what we say we believe about baptism? And this is really the thing. And so to relate all that Scripture teaches and our confessions teach about baptism, really, we come to this conclusion very soon, I suppose.
So our children, with regard to the incarnation, or really with regard to the Christian faith in general, aren't blank slates?
Oh, correct. Correct. They are filled with all things. This includes a knowledge of all things. They are given the wisdom from on high. You know, it is part of our, our cultural heritage, I suppose, that sort of equates, worthiness, that equates, real knowledge with some intellectual capability. But this is not how Scripture talks about this. Scripture talks about this, about the knowledge of the spiritual things, as we see at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, the knowledge of the spiritual things, the wisdom, already there in that baptized child. Precisely.
Many might be shocked to hear you say this, Pastor, because they would say, well, and even those who hold a higher view of baptism might say, well, what we're really doing is we're instilling something in this child in baptism, but it's not full-blown faith. It's the potential for faith. Certainly, it's certain and sure, but these kids can't articulate the truth or a truth like the incarnation right now. That'll come with years of maturity and study. What would you say in response?
Well, that's fine if they can't articulate it. That's not a problem. You know, neither can those with mental, handicaps. I mean, severe mental handicaps. They can't articulate it either. But listen, the faith is not based upon our works, our merits, our capabilities. It is, in fact, absent of those things. I mean, sure, we're involved in this because we're the ones receiving the faith and the wisdom and the knowledge, these sort of things. But it's not based upon us. I mean, you look at Scripture, you see the complete depravity of human nature. What makes us truly worthy is not that somehow some spark is given to us sinful humans, but rather we are clothed with something, we are given something. And that something is the worthiness, and that is the faith which we receive that connects us with the divine things. You know, I explain it to the members here. You know, think of faith more as like this conduit or this tube that connects us with God, where He gives us these divine things. I think we spend too much time even talking about faith, because faith really never talks about itself, but relates then to the things that we are given. In the article here, I do bring up specifically one of these blessed gifts that we're given, which for the most part, and this is not across the board, but for the most part, I think we have withheld from our children for quite a long time.
Then someone might say, Pastor, if our children already believe this, albeit without yet the ability to completely articulate it, wouldn't that relieve me of my responsibility as a Christian parent to teach my child about the incarnation, about the nativity of Christ?
No. Like with any sort of knowledge that we have, it is a protection. So when you think of, there's a difference between. Well, let me just lay it out for you. How I do things here with teaching the children at St. John's is I have two classes. One I call catechesis, and that's for the younger kids, and the other one I have confirmation class. There is a fundamental difference in the way these two classes are laid out because there's a fundamental difference in what I'm trying to do. The first class, catechesis, is to nurture and grow and strengthen faith. So there is there's a lot of, you know, preaching there. There's these sort of things. With the confirmation class, what we're doing is we're digging in to the catechism. In the catechesis class, the earlier one, where I'm having to memorize the catechism. The later one, we're really digging into it and having them understand it, because understanding is for the purpose of setting up these boundaries, of protecting this faith. You know, you think of this as a fortress, right? And the thicker the walls are, the harder for the bullets, the mortars of Satan and his lies, it'd be harder for them to penetrate through. So, for example, if we understand, you know, all the details about the incarnation, it's going to be harder for Satan to penetrate and get these false, you know, teachings into our own hearts and minds about the incarnation, you know, as an example. So more as a protection. So this is what the parents are doing. They're raising their children up in the Word of God, nurturing, you know, teaching them the faith, teaching them the truths of Scripture and the details, the intricacies, because they are protecting them. And this is the main point there of teaching. It's not, you know, teaching is not, you know, learning is not the necessary thing. The necessary thing is the faith which we receive in baptism, and learning and teaching protects that faith.
Pastor Nicholas Uhlsman is our guest. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Victor, Iowa, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled "Your Child Already Believes." We're talking about the incarnation and your child. When we come back, have we waited too long? Pastor Uhlsman has alluded to this. Have we waited too long of late to not only instruct our children in the Christian faith, the faith which they already have and believe, and therefore bring them to the incarnation as we find it every Sunday at the altar, the body and blood of Jesus, for us to eat and drink as believers for the forgiveness of sins? A lot of people would say, wow, I thought that was connected to those junior high years of confirmation, and they're too young to receive the incarnation there in their mouth with Christ's words and institution. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caucabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Nicholas Huelsman is our guest. We're talking about the Incarnation and your child. It's Monday afternoon, December the 12th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. Pastor Huelsman, bottom line, have we waited too long not only to begin instructing our children in the faith that has been delivered to them in holy baptism, but also to bring them to the Lord's table, to receive for themselves, according to Christ's institution, the very incarnation we celebrate this season of the church year?
Too long. This is the old question that, you know, sometimes, us, and I can only speak, you know, in my limited experience here, us young pastors are getting with our talk of, you know, more communion more frequently. Have we been doing it wrong all these years? What a blessing it is that we have the Lord's Supper. In its truth and purity in our midst, and that is a great blessing. And that's where we really can begin, you know, an historic conversation about this. Is that we have the goods, capital G, from our Lord. And so the question is, who then can have these goods? And to be quite, bottom line here, with this question of worthiness in receiving the body and blood of Jesus, is this question. Does baptism make us worthy of what it means to be Christian, including all that pertains to? Does baptism make us worthy or not? Is the faith that is given to the children in baptism a different kind of faith that adults have, and so they can, you know, so they are worthy of receiving the Lord's body and blood or not, so that is really the issue. It's a baptismal. It really goes back to baptism and what baptism means for us. Have we waited too long? In individual cases, I think we can say yes. And one thing that I've said and I'll continue to say is that, you know, it's no wonder that we have a problem in our synod, and I think it's all over the place when the eighth graders graduate from this thing we call confirmation, and they're finally receiving this great and wonderful gift of the Lord's Supper. And they receive it once or twice, and then they're gone. You know, this is no wonder. We are starving our children out. This is the heavenly food which is given to the Christian. There is no distinction of faith between the adult and the child. Baptism, you know, makes us worthy. I would be willing to be corrected if I can be shown from Scripture here, and if Luther and all those can be shown from Scripture here that there is a different kind of faith. But I think that we do a disservice to the least of these among us when we withhold the most precious and most intimate gift of the incarnate Lord that is given to his church. So have we waited too long individually? Yes, we have.
more generally, have we allowed a wedge to be driven between the incarnation celebrated in this season of anticipation and the one of fulfillment in the Christmas season, and the regular reception of the Church of Christ's incarnation in his body and blood at the altar, in a more general sense for Christians? Have we allowed those two to become, if you will, separate things from one another?
Well, I think so, and I think you see some of this influence from the culture here where, you know, what are we waiting for? You know, Advent is a time of preparation, but what are we preparing for? Are we preparing for Jesus to come in the manger? You know, in some, you know, in a fake manger, you know, putting a fake baby in a fake manger and sort of Christmas Eve children's service is sort of the highlight of our Advent celebration. You know, I think this has some cultural influence in it. No, you know, Advent is a preparation for the incarnation in the sacrament, in the feasting of the sacrament of the altar on Christmas morning. You know, it's the same thing for Lent and Easter as well. There is a getting ready for this high and holy feast days of Christmas and Easter that I think we have disconnected a bit from our teaching and preaching and things like that.
With regard to how it is that we nurture our children in the faith that is delivered to them in baptism, how important is it that we emphasize the, as you say in the article, the historical character of this baby Jesus? Not because it's so easy for it to slip into legend and story, small s, rather than history.
Yeah, very important. And this, in fact, is one of this is a blessing that we have in that we're teaching the children, because abstract thought for them, especially for the youngest, doesn't develop, until fifth, sixth grade, something like that. And so what is real to them is what they can see and feel and touch. I mean, the incarnation for children is sort of a no-brainer. I mean, if there's going to be a God, then he's not going to be an abstract thing. He's going to be real. And so this allows a lot easier time. So there is an important time period here where, early on in a child's life, where you can really, really nurture this understanding of the incarnation, and that God is man. God was like you. And I mentioned a few things here in the article about, looking into the mirror and saying, you've got a nose like Jesus, like God, these sort of things. But I think we do have, I think it not only is it very important, but it is a little easier with the younger children because of the way they experience, reality and the way they are learning to understand and things like this.
Does it carry over into how it is we instruct them in the rest of the life of our Lord, but in particular in his passion, his suffering, and his death, that these are historical realities that he experienced for us in our place as true man?
Yes, but I think it would be a little more difficult to explain that in terms of having the child experience the suffering of Jesus. I know in Proverbs it talks about withhold the rod, spoil the child, or whatever, and things. But that might not be the best thing to do there. But all joking aside, yeah, it's the same thing is real. I mean, we experience suffering. Children. Here just recently, a child lost a mother to cancer. I mean, there are these. The reality of suffering here in this world too, the theology of the cross that the children relate to, and they're not ignorant of it. They know these suffering as well.
Finally, then, as a summary, with only about a minute here, you say that the best way for us to teach our children of the Incarnation is both historically and sacramentally. With about a minute, summarize it for us, if you would, Pastor Huelsman.
The Incarnation is not only a Lutheran difference, but it's fundamentally a Christian issue. This is a distinction from any other religion, and we have God with us. You know, this is Emmanuel, and he is truly made present in time, not only back then in time, but even right now in time. And the most tangible way we can receive the incarnate one who was born, who did grow up, who did suffer and die for us, is in the sacrament that he gives in his holy body and precious blood.
Pastor Nicholas Huelsman is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Victor, Iowa. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled "Your Child Already Believes." Pastor Huelsman, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
When we come back on this Monday afternoon, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. We've had a lot of angelic visitors in our Sunday school lessons with her. One more to go. The angel visits Joseph. This is Matthew chapter 1. We'll be teaching that Sunday school lesson on the other side of the break. In hour two of the program, Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us to talk about persistent vegetative states. Sarah Pulliam Bailey about the false reporting of Billy Graham's death. And then Dr. Beverly Yonke on holiday depression.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of A Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
While visiting my son, I asked him if he thought it would snow the next day. He picked up his cell phone and asked Siri if it would snow. Siri is a female verbal cell phone search engine. She responded, "There was no snow in the forecast." It gave me a good laugh. I also laughed when NARAL, a radical pro-abortion group, got bent out of shape because when people asked Siri for abortion mills, pro-life women help centers came up instead. NARAL declared it was a vast right-wing conspiracy. But it's the pro-abortion industry's own fault. Most abortion mills avoid mentioning the word abortion because they're trying to hide what they do. On the other hand, pro-life women help centers usually address abortion on their websites. So, the search engine brings up the pro-lifers. I call this justice.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.